the southernmost, by the grace of God. And when I say we, you know, it's the indigenous people that we work with. We help, we encourage, we bless, we teach, we disciple. We have probably a dozen churches now amongst the Samburu people in Kenya. We have started in the past 2 years, actually less than that. We have churches now in Kenya, or India, excuse me, in Vijayawada area that we've started. So, yeah, we've been busy, very busy. We were in the process, I don't know if last time I was here, I talked about the children's home that we were building, and that is really progressing. It's such a big project, but it's a home for girls and boys who have been abandoned by their parents. They're not allowed to be adopted by the federal government. That's just a rule. But we are able to bring them in. We house them, feed them, clothe them, and then send them to school, send them to college if they want to go, you know. So that's good. We have a feeding program called Food for Life, and we feed about 4,000 children right now. So it's been busy. Busy life, busy time, but a great time. This past April, actually April 30th, when did Christy get married? My daughter? July 26th. My daughter got married July 26th. And because she was getting married, my wife, I'm going to take one of these tissues, drug me out to buy shoes for the wedding and all of that. Right, Jan? And you have to listen to your wife. Yeah? Yeah, you men need to hear that if you didn't hear anything else. Whoops. Anything else? You definitely need to hear that one. It is that saying, a happy wife, a happy life. But I went to bend down. In the past, I had two minor heart attacks, you know, where they put stents. But I just bent over to help her put her shoes on because she was having difficulty. And I was right there at the Hershey Outlets. And bam, I had a heart attack just bent when I went to stand back up. And I knew I was right near Hershey Hospital, so I just put my wife in the car and drove right there. I knew what was happening. Well, I wound up with a triple bypass on April 30th, May 1st, right around there. So we recovered from that. And then my daughter's wedding, I was blessed to be able to walk her down the aisle. But then she moved to Ohio. That's where we're at now. But when she moved, you know, we had to move somewhere because the house we were living in was so big and so much, and plus the expenses were so high, we just knew that it would be very difficult. So God had arranged this all in a boom, 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 boom time, and it's been the same way since. There's just so many things coming at us, and in all of that, I felt the Lord has prepared a word for you. I want to start over in Psalm 23 with you this morning, if you'll let me. And then we're going to take off from there. My ministry is a bit different, maybe. I like to talk to you, not at you. I like to be more connected to you than just, I don't know how to say it, and I hope I can connect to you this morning. You know, the anointing of God that he gives you and he has given me is so that we can connect. Yeah, you should be able to bear witness with each other and who you are. And, you know, all the things that I said we did, I want you to know that I came out of the streets when I was a young man. I lived in down the road in Pennsylvania, a place called Croydon, and just hung on the corner. That was my life with a gang. You know, and married at 18 to this beautiful woman, my beautiful wife, Janet. We've been married 57 years, so we got an investment there. And the Lord's been, yeah, that is today. That's a double clap, amen? When you look at society today, this is what I'm talking about. Things are coming at us so fast now. And the enemy, the increase of the enemy's attack. If you're serving the Lord and you're not having any increase, You know, I want to get under your umbrella. Because it seems that the more you invest your life, the enemy, his mission, he only has one mission, just like Jesus only had one mission. His mission, he said, I came to give you life. Life, guys, and life more abundantly. But the scripture also says that the prince of this world, which means the ruler of this world, is Satan. So we have a kingdom of God, and you have the kingdom of darkness that are at warfare with each other. And it spells out in the scripture the mission of Satan. In the same chapter, it says, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. He says, the thief, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He has no other mission. I don't care how good it looks, how you dress it up, what benefits it's given you. You know, more people lose out because of the word benefit. You know, lose freedom, lose the joy of the Lord, lose their calling, their giftings from God. The world comes and captivates them with all the glimmer, the shine, the promises, the lies, the deceitfulness. Yeah, it does. Very powerful. And when it comes, you know, without Jesus, without Christ in you, the hope of glory, you don't even know the difference. You begin to follow things. You begin to embrace things. Now, I was born in 1949. All right? That's a long time ago. You know, it's before cell phones. Just yesterday. Yeah, just yesterday, yeah. Before cell phones, it was before color TV, before all these things that we now, there's so much technology that's flowing, you know, but what I'm saying is we lived all this time and we have seen so much transpire, and some of the things that have promised, been so many things were promised to you, you know, that this would bring happiness to you and this would bring joy to you and this is going to make life easier. You know, the thing that I hate the most to work with is a cell phone. Oh, yeah. Is life easier for you because you have a cell phone? Oh, my goodness. Yesterday, I was on my cell phone trying to set up new internet and new telephones out in Ohio because Xfinity doesn't operate there in the internet. It took me hours. All the new technology, now with the great technology we have, you get to go to the supermarket, fill your cart, and then you get to go to the counter, and you get to run it through, and then you get the joy of paying it. I grew up when you could go to the grocery store and fill up your... Then when you go, the woman took it out. The woman did all this work, or a man, and they ran it through their machine. Everything was calculated, or they had the, about way back when I was young, they had the little thing. You'd even hear the bell ring, you know, adding everything up for you. But now you have technology. But technology has not made anything easier. In fact, there's so much that's happening and so quick that the Bible talks about and teaches if you understand the Word of God. Do you really understand that we are definitely moving toward end times? And if you do not have the fear of God in your life, which is the beginning of wisdom, just the beginning, you see, you laugh at those statements. You ignore the things that are happening. Or you can't even see correctly because you got these blinders, these glasses that have been given you. False hope, false this, false that. And you call it truth. The scripture says the truth comes to set you free. Free. Not to own you, not to keep you in bondage, but to move you to a place in life where you can walk with great freedom, great liberty, great joy, great peace. And it's not based on what you have, how many degrees you have. It's not based on how successful you are, but it's based solely upon Jesus Christ and your relationship with him. That you live not by this world, you live by a different world. You live by the kingdom of God, the principles of that kingdom, that you understand what the word of God says, that we are strangers and aliens here on earth. You're just traveling through. That our citizenship isn't even here. If you really belong to Jesus, if you are a follower of Christ, you have been born again. You have been removed from one place. It says you've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness, and you have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. And that kingdom is an eternal kingdom that is full of joy and full of love, and the promises that are made are yes and amen to you. There's no maybe in God. There's no this earning thing. If it's from God and he says it's yours, it's yours. And it's a great place to live, and it's a great place to enjoy. But the relationship itself is what's best of all. Most people I know that have a hard time with Christianity have never really experienced Jesus Christ. They've heard him. They've heard about him. Somebody's preached at him. Somebody's, tried to get him to come to a place to give to, but they've never encountered God himself. And I'm telling you today, I'm here to tell you that if you have not encountered God, you do not know him. You may know about him, but you do not know him. You're like the children of Israel, who after the Red Sea was open for them, they went to church every week otherwise. Just like you come to church, but you don't know God. You haven't encountered him. You don't know. You haven't met him. Moses is on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. He's up there getting the Ten Commandments. And in that short time, what are they doing? They're building a golden calf. Turning their allegiance away. They had no passion for God. They had passion for what God could give them. But passion for God? No. Passion and love for God? No. The very first commandment is that you would learn and that you would live by the commandment of God, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy strength, and that you would have no other gods before him. Not the God of mammon, not the God of success, not the God of ego. Yeah, you got to encounter God. Last time I was here, I told you how I met the Lord and how I was strung out on drugs and how I couldn't even walk into a place and how I would shake in fear and could hardly breathe because I was in withdrawal so bad, and how my brother had gotten saved and he took me to church. And when I went there, I just said, you people are crazy. You're nuts. I don't want nothing to do with this Jesus stuff. I really arrogant, but yet in such desperate need at the same time. My wife was ready to leave me. But there was something that I couldn't deny when I walked into that church. It wasn't the people. It was the presence. There was a presence of God. I didn't even know what it was. I just knew that I could feel it. Didn't even want it, but I could feel it. And my brother invited me back again, and I just to get him off my back, I went again. He invited me again a third time, and again, just to get him, leave me alone, I went. And that's when the man preached that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things pass away and all things become new. And if there was anything that I needed a new life. Do you need a new life? And even if you are saved, do you need something new? Because the newness of Christ is every day. The newness of Christ is a daily thing. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, what? All the days of my life. Amen? The mercy of the Lord is what? New every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. Have you encountered the faithfulness of God? Have you encountered the greatness of God? You don't know him if you haven't. The children seen the Red Sea open. They seen the manna every day, but they never knew God. Moses knew God. You know, Moses had a staff. And when he encountered God. I wasn't planning on saying all this. Somebody here today needs to hear this. Maybe several. But Moses, after running away from Egypt, remember, to save his life. Yeah. 40 years in the desert. And one day he's out there with the sheep. And he looks up and he sees a bush that's burning, a fire. But it's not destroying the bush. And it says he climbed a mountain. There's some of you who have climbed many mountains for many things. In your own strength, in your own determination, but you've never climbed the mountain of God. You've never been humble enough to climb the mountain of God. To really turn and look at him and say, I want to know you. I want to encounter you. If you're real, I want to encounter you. And it says as soon as he got up there and he came into the presence of God, the voice came from the bush, you see, and said to him, take off your shoes because this is holy ground. How many of you would take off your shoes? How many of you have felt the presence of God so strong that you take off your shoes because you knew you were in a holy place with God? You're encountering him. Not running in and saying, Daddy, Daddy. I'm telling you that there is a place of holiness that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You're going to do it. You may not, I don't even care if you believe in the Lord. I don't care how, I'm telling you there's a day that you will bow to Jesus Christ. Every man. And you, with your mouth, will confess he is Lord. When you encounter God, you know that he's Lord. Moses took off his shoes. Took off his shoes. Humility. And Moses then had a place with God because he was willing to humble himself before God. And it was there that action made him, at that moment, a door for him to be able to be in the presence of God. God reserved that place for Moses for the rest of his life. Actually, it's through eternity. God has a place prepared for you. He has a place prepared for me. Where I can meet with him all the time. But this Moses, you see, he had a staff. What I'm trying to say to you is, like, in my own life, when he preached it, you know, that every man could have a new life, there I was sitting in this congregation, you know, with my brother, not wanting to be there, and I was demon-possessed. Some of you don't want to hear that either. I had demons inside of me from all the drugs I took, from walking in back alleyways in South Korea when I was in the military, buying drugs, selling drugs, prostitutes all around you, demons, darkness. Yeah. And you think you can live there and not be invaded by it? No. And that's where we're at today. We're invaded. We are living in darkness, and people think that it doesn't touch them. No, it's touching your life. It's touching your children. It's touching your grandchildren. The doors have been flung wide open in this country to principalities and powers, and not just here, in the world. There's many who say, don't get political. Keep the church out of politics. Well, that's how come your country's in trouble when it comes to morality, because you took the church out of politics. You said that you wanted them separate. There wasn't a voice loud enough or strong enough that would spoke up for God. And our forefathers actually put them in your Constitution. He put them in, you know, the Declaration of Independence. You'll find his name. You'll find his morality. You'll find his principles. Wow. I said I was going to read Psalm 23. Amen. But I want you to know that that night in my life, when there was an altar call, after feeling the presence of God for the third time, that strong, that powerful, I ran to that altar. And it was an Assembly of God church, and they had their people trained, just like you probably have people trained. And then when people came to the altar, people would go up with them and pray for them. But that night when I got up, I was on the left side facing that altar rail, and no one came to me. I was by myself. Not one person came to pray for me. So there I was, not knowing what I was doing, not even believing for sure if there was a God, saying to this prayer, if Jesus, you're real, and if Jesus, what this man says is true, I say to you, I admit I ruined the life you gave me. And I'm asking you for help. Please, if what this man said is true, give me a new life. And I encountered God. It wasn't a magic prayer. It wasn't, you've said the prayer, now you're saved. I encountered the living God. And the power of God came down through me. And just like the Bible says, he separated me. Separated, took my sins away from me. And I went home talking to my wife about Jesus. Instantly telling her, you need Jesus. That didn't go over good. Not at all. In fact, she thought I was on drugs, that I was out tripping on LSD or something. Yeah. She was not a happy camper, me telling her she needed Jesus. You know, but anyhow, I'm telling you, I went home. Two packs of Winston a day, gone. Foul mouth, gone. Alcohol, gone. The shakes, gone. The hunger for drugs and the hunger for all kind of things that were immoral, no good, gone. In the twinkling of an eye. I'm not saying that you have to have my encounter. But I'm saying when you encounter the living God, you'll know it. And what he says will happen. He will make you a new creature in Christ. And all things will pass away and all things will become new. And you'll see life like you never saw it before. You'll participate in it the way you never did before. And all of a sudden, you'll have a future with hope, with peace, with joy. Trouble-free? No. No, not down here. In fact, God prepares you for that. It's called warfare. You got to put on the whole armor of God. You got to go to war. Why? It's part of why you're saved. It's part of the purposes of God in your life. You're the witness here on earth. You're the salt. You're the light. What does that mean? It means shine, brother. Shine, sister. Wherever you go, shine for the Lord. Don't promote you. Promote Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. He's the author and finisher of this world. He is the Word of God. John chapter 1. Read it. He is the light and the life of men. John chapter 1. And he has given you the right, the power to become the sons and the daughters of God. John chapter 1. Read that chapter. It's written for us. He wants you to know that he loves you. He wants you to know that all of this was prepared for us originally. So pure, so clean, so good. It was prepared for you and for me. Why? It was designed by him with love for his children. And now he comes and he restores that right to you to become a child of God.
Don't throw it away. Don't throw it away. Don't let your pride or your hurt or your wound or your anger, your stubbornness, rob you of your destiny, your eternal destiny in God. Amen? Amen. All right, now let's read Psalm 23. Hallelujah. Can we stand and read it? You don't have to stand. Never mind. You guys are tired. Go ahead. Sit down. Sit down. But I want you to read it out loud with me if you have a Bible. All right? And do you have it on your, can you put it on screen from the sound booth? Any translation. New King James, you have that? If you put it up there, that way we'll all be reading the same thing. It won't sound like we're speaking in tongues. Psalm 23. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Lord. You got it, guys? If not, we'll just read it. There it is. There it is. King James is fine. Yeah. Can you put up the verse by verse, please? 1, 2, 3, all the way through 6. What's that? Can't get it up? No problem. One at a time is fine. That's great. One at a time is fine. You ready, guys? We're going to read this. Can't do it? No problem. All right, we'll read it. All right, here we go. Ready, guys? Beginning with verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen? That's right. Come on. Yeah. The reason you're reading that today is because I wanted to talk to you originally about the last times and the last days. In Isaiah 60, can we go there? There's some things that I think we need to understand as we are journeying together through life here on this planet as Christians in this day and in this hour. And there are things that have already happened and things that have transpired that if we do not come together as the church, you know, that they're just going to get worse and worse. Hallelujah. And then I'm going to be reading some scripture to you. And I want you to hear the word. And I want you to begin to try to apply it to today, where you're at, what you're doing. Is this your life? It's very important. But in Psalm 123, where do you hear that the most? Where do you read? Where do you hear Psalm 123 the most? 23, excuse me. Psalm 23. At a funeral. As if this psalm was written, you know, for funerals. And it's not. It's a psalm of the living. It's for the living. You're the living. And the Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want. Dead people are not wanting. They're not wanting it all. It's done for them. It's over. But what we have here, it's a psalm of peace. And the reason I brought these rods here with me is that I have encountered God in so many ways, in so many places, that you have to learn how to develop a life that when God speaks, that no matter how weird it sounds or whatever it is, that as long as it's not contrary to this word of God, you should apply it to your life and you should do it. Amen. Have you ever heard of Calvin Griner? Yeah, right. Calvin carried the cross throughout this country from one end to the other, a cross. And he preached the gospel wherever he went. And that is weird. He would take a cross and he would take, you know, a map, a journey out, and he would walk it. And wherever he went, he would counter people. Of course, people were looking at him, but he didn't care about the people. He cared about being obedient to the call of God on his life and how God told him how to do it. And when you learn to be obedient to God and when you do it his way, you'll be amazed at the outcome of what God wants to do. Yeah. Moses had a staff, remember? That's why I had this up there. And I could tell you stories about this staff. I've taken this through different countries. And especially when I'm working with leaders and leadership and we're teaching leadership principles and stuff. And there are people who struggle with their leadership. And we would hold this staff up. And anybody that was having trouble with leadership, we'd invite them to come and put this staff in their hand. Because the staff is a symbol of leadership. But most of all, it was because the Lord told me, I want you to take this staff and put it in the hands of those leaders that are struggling. And when they do, there will be a transference of power from God because of their obedience, not from the stick, not from the staff. All it is a piece of wood in the end. But because you are obedient to what God says, and you do what God says, you'll be amazed what God can do. Amazed. And they would grab a hold of this thing all over the world. And when they do, the power of God, I can't explain it to you. The power of God would come on them. They would shake in the power of God. They couldn't even get it out of their hand. It was like electricity. They were glued to it and it would flow through them. And their lives would change from being meek little leaders to become lions for God. And we need lions today. We need men who are willing to war. You got all kinds of lions in the world. You do. Men are out there roaring. They're out there doing their thing. They're superstars. They're weightlifters. They got muscles. They got six packs, 12 packs, you know, and they're out there making millions of dollars and all these things. You understand what I'm saying? There's a man, but the church has lost some of it. The church has lost a lot of its manhood. It's lost a lot of its zeal and its power. Because we've allowed the world, because of our own generosity, because of our own love and compassion for others. Satan's not stupid. He figured out how to use it against us. And instead of bringing people to a freedom, we keep them in captivity by saying to them, oh, it's all right. Jesus just loves you the way you are. No! Jesus is a transforming God. I lost a lot of weight when I had that heart attack. I'm sorry. You'll see me a lot. But no, Jesus is a transforming God. And Jesus was a man. Jesus was someone who showed you man. He could be humble and he could be authoritative at the same time. He knew how to lift up and he knew how to rebuke. He knew how to bring in and he knew how to resist. And that's what God looks like. Because he came as the manifestation of God himself. He is the exact duplicate. That's what it says in Hebrews chapter 1, if you ever want to go there and read it. He is the reflection of his Father. And you and I should be the reflection of the Word of God, which is actually Jesus Christ. And it doesn't mean that we walk around like, you know, and we don't walk around like lions all the time either. Do you know that Jesus represents two animals? He comes as what? The lion and the lamb. Amen? He says, "Behold, the Lion of God, the Lion of Judah." And it says when John turned around in the book of Revelation and looked, he saw a lamb that had been slain, as if he had been slain. The very nature of a lion and a lamb in the same person. And that's who we should be. We should be able to be like Jesus, that when we go into a place that needs some chairs turned over and the church is making a mockery of God, a mockery of the kingdom, you should go in and speak the truth with authority and power. When you have men that will not speak against the transgender and all the other things going on in this country, the immorality, the church loses its place of importance in the face of the earth. We no longer are the lights that God called us to be. The light. We don't shrink back. My Bible says in Hebrews, I believe it's chapter 11, that God has no what? Pleasure in those who shrink back. The church is not a shrinking back organization. In fact, or organism, however you want to say it. But we are here as the ambassadors of a king. We're here representing someone else, not our government. Not laws that they pass that are against the kingdom of God. Not all this other stuff that the devil wants to come and twist the word of God to make you think that you have to submit to those things. No. We serve God. And when you serve God, you serve one another. Because Jesus is truth. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And when you really want to love somebody, you give them truth. And you give it to them in a godly way. Doesn't mean that you go and cast a stone at them. Jesus said, "You who are without sin, you cast the first stone. Nobody's able. You and I can't cast stones, but we can speak truth in love." And the truth in love is that sword, that word of God is truth. And it says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It says the word of God is able to pierce and divide. It goes in someone's ear and it begins to separate inside of them. That which is good and bad, it begins to bring light and begins to push out the darkness because it has the power and it's freedom filled, the word of God. And it brings people to hope and to freedom, to deliverance. Amen? I'll prophesy to you and tell you that in these last days, you're going to see churches return to the ministry of deliverance. Right here in the United States, it happens all the time in overseas. When I'm overseas preaching sometimes in the Gospels and up in the mountains of tribal people are laying on the ground, demons are coming out of them, crying out, because they've been worshiping spirits. They have no problem with admitting that they were, you know, they had demons upon them. But when they meet the Savior, when they meet Jesus, when they get encountered by the blood of Jesus, let me tell you, the blood of Jesus cleanses them. Have you ever had to have a wound that was full of gravel and everything? Maybe you're a motorcycle guy. You know, you got a little bit of road burn on you. You got to go home and clean that road burn out. It hurts. Your mama can't just go, "Oh, Pat, it's okay. It'll get better." No, you better get that gravel out of your skin. You might lose your arm if you don't. And I'm telling you, the church is losing its arm. It's losing its feet. Because we will not walk in the way that Jesus walked in the face of this earth. The most loving, kind, goodness, compassionate man, but at the same time, a man that was full of life, manhood, expressing the will of his Father, power. And only God can reconcile those two. Only the Lord has the ability to be in you and express both of that at the same time in your life. Amen? Oh, there's so much I could say and want to say. The first thing that came into my mind here is, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church. I don't even know why it came in, but I'm talking about this, you know. Husbands, love your, be that demonstration. Man, sometimes it's tough to love your wife. You know, especially if she's been nagging you. And she said, "I've been asking him to do the same thing for a year and he didn't do it yet." You know, fix that that shelf in the closet, will you, Dave? Hey, but I'm just talking about that. Both. A man has to be the leader of his home. A man is strong. A man teaches his sons how to walk righteously and how not to be fearful and how to be a protector. These are all things that are godly things. That's what God is like. That's what Jesus was like. That's what manhood's like. So he teaches his son that. But then he has to teach him what? Oh, love my wife as Christ loved the church. He forgave the church. He was kind to the church. He gave his life for the church. So you got two of them operating at the same time. You know, you have this strong man and you have this humble person, but only Jesus can reconcile them. And every man that gives his life to Christ and every man who has a passion to be like him, not to do, imitate God, to be, you know, to have his life living through him. I don't want to be like Jesus. I want him to live through me. You see, I know what it's like to be possessed by a demon and be driven to do the things that I didn't even like to do and want to do. But man, when you get possessed by Jesus, whoo, you know, and all of a sudden you have a passion and a desire to be, not to, like I say, to let his life control your life. You're willing to lay down your life like he laid down his life for you. You lay your life down for him. And it's called the divine exchange. And all of a sudden, Christ in you starts doing. I don't have the power to heal anybody, but I can tell you hundreds and hundreds of stories of people that I've laid hands on and prayed with and just healed. Right in emergency rooms, everything else, climbing on top of people that were in comas, praying for them, coming out of them. You think I can do that? No. But guess what? I got somebody in me that can. And I'm convinced of it. I know him. I believe it. And where he leads, I try to follow. It's just that way, guys. But I started here in Psalm 23 because Calvin carried that cross. Calvin came to my home the other night. And we were having... I'm moving, I told him, and he says, Brother, God wants to bless you. And he went out to his car, and he brought this in to me. Remember, I already went, would you say why? I'm going to tell you why. It's cool. He said, God had him made these staves and to give them to certain men when he met them to remind them that he has called them into leadership to be a blessing to other men and to people. But the rod represents authority. You see, in my life, it represents authority, represents strength and power. And in my life, I'm going to be honest with you, I have been through some places where I didn't have much strength. And if it wasn't, you see, and that's why I got the staff. I can lean on Jesus. I lean hard on Jesus, guys. I lean hard on him, his work, what he's done. I trust him. I don't trust me. I know me. I want to love my wife correctly and honor her and bless her. I can't trust Dave to do that. Because Dave was born in sin. Jesus knew no sin, but became sin so that I could become the righteousness of Christ in God, and that I could be a righteous husband. I can be a righteous man because the Son of Righteousness lives within me. And you know what he has? He has healing in his wings. And if my marriage is in bad shape and my relationship with my husband or wife is not in the best place, the healing of Jesus abides in me, and I know it can heal my marriage. It can heal my relationship with my children. He's in me. The healer is in me, and it isn't for everybody else. He heals me. He heals my marriage. He heals my home. You getting this? But you got to encounter him. You got to let him in. You got to lean on him. I brought this today because I believe the Holy Spirit told me to. That the Lord is your shepherd. I'm telling you this, guys. You can either believe it or just put it in file 13, which is the trash can. He said, take that there. And you tell them that I am there for them. For them. Not everybody else, for them. What's your name? Yeah, you. This one here, the girl, the young girl. I'll take your name too, but. Huh? I can't hear you. Bryn? Spell it for me. Okay, Bryn. That's pretty cool. That's different. I like it. Bryn. Yeah, for Bryn. And what was your name?
Abby.
Abby, for Abby. Yeah, he's here for you. He's here for you, Bryn. Not just today, but he's here for you every day. Every day he's here for you guys. But the Lord told me to bring this because I'm going to put it up here. And I felt the Lord, I'm just trying to follow instructions. I felt the Lord say, at any time something strikes you and you know that you're struggling there and you need a little help, humble yourself. Come up and take this thing in your hand and just lean on it. Just bow your head and say, Lord, I receive your help. You are my shepherd. I shall not want. You will lead me to green pastures. You will cause me to lie down still waters. Even in the darkest times of my life, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil or the shadows. I will trust in you and hope you will prepare a table for me. Not me. I'm not going to prepare a table for me. You not only will, you have prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies, Lord. You see, you got enemies and they're trying to take you down. Trying to take your marriage apart. Trying to destroy your work, your job, your hope. And you need to grab a hold of Jesus. You need to grab a hold of the ministry of the shepherd who knows you. He knows every sheep by name. He knows you. He knows exactly what you need. And he cares for you deeper than any person ever could care for you. The scripture says, could a mother abandon her child, the one that she had, it said, suckling on her breast? Could she abandon? He said, scarcely, but even if they could, it goes on to say in that verse, I cannot, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. And there's people here today who have been abandoned. You've been lied to. You've been deceived by others. That it steals your hope. It's not just in humanity. It's just you don't trust anybody in anything. Or it's just hard maybe for you to trust. Or hard for you to have peace. You're walking around with anger in you. Just you're angry because of life. It doesn't mean that you had to do some evil thing. I'm just saying that, but the Lord knows you. He knows all that about you. And he's saying, come lean on me. Peter says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Pretty simple. He didn't say because you did everything right. He didn't say because you don't sin. He didn't say because you go to church every week. He says, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. Can you believe that today? Because if you can believe that, God wants you to encounter today his care for your life. Yeah. Remember that old song we way, way back? Lean on me. Yeah. So I'm going to put this staff here. And I'm not saying that we're going to have a special altar call for them. I'm saying that now. You see, God is a now God. And when you feel the presence of God in your life, I'm teaching you some things that, trust me, I wasn't even planning it going anywhere today like this. Some of this, but people don't know. We've developed altar calls. Jesus never had altar calls. I'm thankful for altar calls. But you see, Jesus stimulated people. They wanted help, but he didn't say, well, you got to wait 15, 20 minutes. Your altar call's in. I'm telling you, if anything has already stirred you and inside of you, you feel like, that's me. I want to lean on Jesus. I want you to come grab a hold of this stick. As weird as it sounds. As weird as it sounds. It's weird for a fish to swallow a man and spit him up on the shores of the place that he didn't want to go. But his name was Jonah. And the Bible's full of weirdness. Oh, it's full of weirdness, the things that God did. He didn't lead. You see, recently, in this moving thing that I was telling you about, I went into a place like, God, what are you doing in my life here? I'm just about ready to turn 76, and you're turning my whole life upside down here. Moving away, and the only thing it did was show me how sinful I was when we had two truckloads full of stuff that I don't even know what it was, most of it, going down the highway. You know, ay, ay, ay. But there was like darkness in my understanding. And I don't like that because I believe God wants me to know. And he said to me, finally, he says to me, Dave, remember Moses? I said, yeah, I remember Moses, but I don't remember this about him. He says, oh, yeah. He says, you remember when he led all the children of Israel out of Egypt? He says, I was leading him. I picked the way that he was to go. I showed him where to go. And I led him to a dead end. He says, I've led you to this dead end. Because that's how I felt. I felt like, God, you know, what's happening? I feel like a dead end. I'm moving where I don't know anybody or do anything, you know. You know, I've got my other plans. I've got this and that. God led me to a dead end. He says to me, I led you here. I am leading your life, Dave. Trust me. Trust me. And then the Red Sea opens. You see, and the journey begins. And it was in a new land. It was in a new place. And the Lord just began to just give me peace. You see. And I really think that some of you are in that same place, maybe even in life. It's like a dead end. And I'm telling you that for some reason, the Lord said that he's going to meet you if you come and humble yourself and take that stick and grab a hold of it and move with God. So the Lord is my shepherd, amen? And I what? Yeah. Some of you are wanting. And it's all right. But the God who has promised is here. And he just wants to help you. But he can't help you unless you let him. And most of us keep saying, well, if God really cared, he could have done this, he could have done. You know, we could have it that way, where God forces you into everything. Is that love? Is that compassion? No, he's there. So he says he's the shepherd. He says he's going to make you lie down in green pastures. Amen. Some of you might be going through places of barrenness. And green pastures is just the opposite of barrenness. But there are many of you, you might be going to see, that's sort of like, again, in my own life, it was like, I felt like I was moving away from green pastures. And I didn't see the green pastures in front of me. And God says, no, but I do. In fact, Dave, I am your green pasture. I am all you need. I'm everything. That's why when Moses, they asked his name, he says, I am. I am that I am. He's God. And Jesus wants to just bless you and help you. Hallelujah. So he makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the still waters. Some of you are right now in the opposite of still waters. You're in the storm. You're in the boat where the wind's blowing. And you know, just like in the Gospels and the story of Jesus, you know, and he the wind's blowing. They were out there and they were rolling, and they're not making any ground. And there's two stories. One where Jesus comes and he's walking on the water. He's going to pass them by. And then finally they cry out, Jesus, don't pass us by. Amen. He's walking on the water, brother. But do you see Jesus that way? Do you see Jesus walking on the water, or do you only see your storm? You see, God wants to bring your life to a place where the whole world can be in a storm. But man, you're walking on water. You're walking on the storm. You know, you're not getting fearful because the winds are getting stronger. You've built your life on Jesus Christ. It's the whole parable of what? The man who builds his life on the word, or he builds it on sand. He either builds it on the rock, which is Jesus Christ, or you build your life on sand, and when the winds come and the rain comes, when you build your life on this world, it's going to wash away. I'm telling you guys, this world is going to end. The scripture talks about fire that will come and consume this world, and it says that everything that God created, he will roll it up and he'll throw it away, and he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. But it's not just for anybody. It's for his children who have learned to reach out to him, trust him, walk with him. Amen? Those that belong to him. But some of you were there. The other time it was in the storm, he wasn't walking on the water. You know, he was in the boat with them. I mean, in the storm, you're a Christian, and yet you're saying, Jesus, what's wrong? I'm yours. I'm not supposed to be going through this. I'm a Christian. And where are you? Why are you letting this happen? And he doesn't even answer. Why? Because he's sleeping in the back of the boat. That's what he was doing. He was sleeping. Everybody else was fearful for their life. And it says they woke him up and says, don't you care? And some of you are asking that question. You might even be saying just a little stronger, you don't care. I don't believe you care. Where's the evidence that you care? The evidence that Jesus cares is on the cross. If you need more evidence than that, but I understand. It's easy to talk about things that you can't see, but man, we all want to be able to see and touch, amen, and feel. So there it is, and Jesus got up and he says what? He calmed the storm. He rebuked the storm. Isn't that what he did? How many of you are in a storm? Well, Jesus wants to calm that storm for you. But if Jesus is going to calm that storm for you, wow, Lord, we need about 4 or 5 days here. I'm just going through all these lessons and teachings. Everyone's a teaching. But if you really want Jesus to, you know, to calm your storm, then you got to do it his way. You got to do it his way. Think about it. You know how many times you can get so mad at people, you're walking around with unforgiveness in your life. And Jesus is saying, you got to forgive. You got to forgive them. I'm not forgiving them. The storm keeps going. The storm's in you. The anger's in you. The voices start coming. Anytime that you're not walking with the Lord, you invite voices outside of the Lord to be your guidance, justifying your actions. I'm not saying what the person did was right. I'm not saying what the person is doing right. I'm saying you can't justify yourself. You got to surrender yourself to Jesus. And when you do, he will be there for you. He will be your peace. He will be your strength in the midst of it all. Amen? Yeah, he's there for you. The storm. He'll lead you beside what? Still waters. Still waters. You ever been? I used to go hunting a lot, and you could get out by the streams, you know, and you're sitting there, and you're trying to be as quiet as you can. But when you get real quiet, guess what? You see, storms don't let you get quiet. Jesus says, I'll lead you beside still waters. Man, you get out there, and you hear the still, you can hear the running water over the rocks. And it begins to talk to you, little breeze, and man, it is just so sweet. All of a sudden, things get easier to hear. You can hear a deer coming down the mountain. Yeah. Think about it. But it's when you get quiet that you're able to hear. Storms are not quiet. You have to say, peace, be still. And God will quiet that storm for you. You got to have faith in that. You got to believe that. Jesus will still your storms. He will keep you in perfect peace. Those whose mind is what? Stayed upon him. Isaiah 26:3. Get the word in you. The word is truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Jesus. I just don't want to preach at you. I want to give you a couple more things. I'm going to let you go. I know you have people come in and they give all of their pictures. I got pictures of all of the ministry we do and everything about that. But I want you to know the Lord knows all about them, and he will take care of them. He'll bless them. But the Lord sent me here today for you. I have no doubt about that. For you. You're his mission field. He's your father, and he cares about you. It says, therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him into a wise man. Are you wise? He says, I will liken him into a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. You know how many divorces we have in America today? You know how many fatherless children there are in America today? You know how many murders are happening every day because of abortion? The house has fallen. Come on, guys. Get in the fight. And it says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What time is it? I don't see. Oh, it's 12:03. You guys end at 12? I thought so. See how prophetic I am? Yeah. Deep insight. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Jesus just wants to lead you. I'm just going to get off this. I'm not get off this. I just want to end because I know that you are trained, and it's not your fault. It's just there. It's just that what you're used to. I'm trying to be careful what I say, that, you know, your stomach's trained, your mind's trained, your backside's trained. You know, it's time to go. 12 o'clock. You got to realize that I'm in Africa and places like that, and it's like 6 hours and they're ready to go. And then they come back for more that night. But, and that's not to condemn you. It's just what you're used to and what you're not used to. So, praise the Lord. You know what God wants from you, don't you?
Sure.
You going to give it to him? Huh?
Try.
Yeah. No, trying's not good enough. Just say yes, I will. Yeah. Surrender it all. Amen?
Amen.
You want to know why? Because he loves you. There's no tricks here. We're not hiding behind the blankets and the screen. There's nothing there. Amen, sister? Surrender. Amen. I already talked to you. Hallelujah. And brother, manhood, that's you. You're the man. Be the righteous man and keep doing it. You don't have to change. Just become more and more like Jesus. I hear the Lord saying he appreciates you. He appreciates you. Don't run away. Draw near. He's going to take that appreciation. Or that appreciation is going to be like refining fire. It's just going to make you more like him. Give you. When I say that, it means that he's going to give you understanding of what he's like. Wisdom. Wisdom. You're growing. Keep growing. Amen. I really hear that about you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And this family. Wow. How you doing, brother?
Good.
I like your ink. Yeah? You know, most people who have ink, it tells about their life.
Yes, sir.
They put their life on their thing. So what's yours telling me? Is that when you were born? No, it couldn't be 92.
No. My father passed.
And father passed. See, your life. It's history. Yeah. History's good. But the future is what's better. Mm-hmm. Your history was buried with Jesus. Everything. All you have is the present and the future as far as Christ is concerned. And he's got plans and hopes and desires for you. And you don't have to worry about him. Don't have to worry about the lady next to you or whatever. It's you. And I'm inviting you to do business with God. And I promise you, you will not be disappointed. People will disappoint you. I'll disappoint you. Jesus will not. He's faithful. Amen?
Amen.
And if I'm putting you on the spot, forgive me, please.
You're not putting me on the spot.
Good. I like that. That's manhood, too. We need to own up and grab a hold of. And you, young man, yeah, thanks for listening to me this long without falling asleep. I appreciate that. All right? And, you know, you got a generation that needs people who love them. And I'm going to encourage you, be one of them. Be strong for them. Don't be wimpy. Stand for Jesus. And if you need to grow in him, admit that. And grow in him. Just do it. Read your word. Amen? And follow him. And get with young people who want to follow him. Yeah. And I promise you, you'll see the difference in your life, and you'll be glad. Amen? Yeah. You still like sports?
Sometimes.
Yeah. What's your favorite one?
Golf.
Golf. All right. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're winding up the service. This is just extras. God bless you, sister. Remain being faithful. Amen. And you, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 You don't need to change to please people. You just need to know him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Divine adjustments, he will make them. God is the best chiropractor you'll ever have. Amen. Bless you, sister. Remain faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. You're a servant of servants. Praise you, Lord. The back seat, they get in the, you got to get out of the church if you want me not to come see you. Amen. Yeah. Praise you. You feel it? I know you do. You should be grabbing that staff up there. Huh? Grab the staff, yeah. Lean on it. Amen. Even the one that's shorter one. God will give you authority. God doesn't see men like men see men. God sees you with all of the passion of destiny for your life. And no man can steal that from you. You can only give it away. It's yours. Don't base your life on what others base your life, but base it on what Jesus has said about you. And be the man of God. Amen? Sometimes it might hurt, but it's all right. Amen? I want to bless you. Father, I pray you bless this sister. Yeah, bless her with your presence, with health, Lord. Regenerate, Lord, the things that need to be regenerated in her body right now, Lord. Regenerate, Lord. In Jesus' name, be healed and strengthened and encouraged. For the Lord God is with you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Yep, take it to the bank. Hallelujah. Amen, brother?
Amen.
God is faithful.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, for you too. Stay healthy. Yeah, and the things you're fighting, you put them under your feet. You already have the victory. Amen? God bless you, sister. God cares for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you. Well, guys, I know this has probably been a strange service for you. But praise the Lord. That's a good thing. You only have to invite somebody like me about once a year or 3 years or 2 years. Yeah. But some of you who grabbed a hold of this stick, I'll just tell you the truth. When Calvin brought this over to me, he says, the Lord told me to go out to my car and get this for you. And he put it down like that when I grabbed a hold of it. I could feel the power of God. My calling is to be a shepherd. I have no doubt about it. And I enjoy it, shepherding the hearts and the lives of people, knowing the great shepherd, the good shepherd. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. All those who come before me, they were phonies. I don't want to be a phony. There's one shepherd, it's Jesus Christ. And then he comes and shares his ministry with us. Amen. I love you, and I thank you for letting me come here and speak to you. You're not going to be the same after this service. You're not. Amen. Is that the husband of the pastor? Who was playing? Yeah. Please tell your wife and you congratulations. And God bless you. What's the name of the son?
Jackson.
Ooh, I got a grandson, Jackson. Father, bless Jackson. Yes. Woo, Father, thank you. The Lord's hands is already upon him. Amen. Oh, yeah. Receive it. The It's upon them. Praise the Lord. I'm going to stop here, give it back to the pastor. Again, thank you for letting me come.
Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the moving of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for Holy Spirit just speaking to individual hearts. And Father, I thank you that we are righteous people. And when you have spoken, we obey your word and your leading. And I thank you that our lives are changed today. And go forth in Jesus' name. Amen.